conqueror will become a duchy of his lands in Uberwald," said Varence, "but will still be referred to as a kingdom, which I think is very reasonable of him, don't you agree?"
"Very handsome suggestion," said Nanny. "There will be taxes, of course," said the Count. "Not onerous. We don't want blood, figuratively speaking." He beamed at the joke. "Seems reasonable to me," said Nanny. "It is, isn't it?" said the Count. "I knew it would work out so well, and I am so pleased, Verence, to see your essential modern attitude. People have quite the wrong idea about vampires, you see. Are we fiendish killers?" He beamed at them. "Well, yes, of course we are, but only when necessary. Frankly, we could hardly hope to rule a country if we went around killing everyone all the time, could we? There'd be none left to rule, for one thing." There was polite laughter, loudest of all from the Count. It made perfect sense to Agnes. The Count was clearly a fair-minded man. Anyone who didn't think so deserved to die. "And we are only human," said the Countess. "Well, in fact, not only human, but if you prick us, do we not bleed? Which always seems such a waste." "They've got you again," said a voice in her mind. Vlad's head jerked up. Agnes felt him staring at her. "We are above all up to date," said the Count. "And we do like what you've done to this castle, I must say." "Oh, those torches back home," said the Countess, rolling her eyes, "and some of the things in the dungeons. Well, when I saw them, I nearly died of shame. So 15 centuries ago. If one is a vampire, then one is..." She gave a deprecating little laugh. "A vampire. Coffins, yes, of course. But there's no point in skulking around as if you're ashamed of what you are, is there? We all have needs." "You're all standing around like rabbits in front of a fox," Perdita raged in the caverns of Agnes's brain. "Oh," said the Countess, clapping her hands together, "I see you have a pianoforte." It stood under a shroud in a corner of the room where it had stood for 4 months now. Verence had ordered it because he'd heard they were very modern. But the only person in the kingdom who'd come close to mastering it was Nanny Ogg, who would, as she put it, come up occasionally for a tinkle on the ivories. King Verence was very keen that someone should compose a national anthem for Loncra, possibly referring to its very nice trees, and had offered a small reward. Nanny Ogg reasoned that it would be easy money because national anthems only ever have one verse, or rather all have the same second verse, which goes no 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 at some length, until everyone remembers the last line of the first verse and sings it as loudly as they can. Then it had been covered over on the orders of Magrat, and the palace rumour was that Verence had got an ear-bashing for buying what was effectively a murdered elephant. "Lacrimosa would so like to play for you," the Countess commanded.
"Oh, Mother," said Lacrimosa.
"I'm sure we should love it," said Verence. Agnes wouldn't have noticed the sweat running down his face if Perdita hadn't pointed it out.
"He's trying to fight it," she said. "Aren't you glad you've got me?"
There was some bustling while a wad of sheet music was pulled out of the piano stool, and the young lady sat down to play. She glared at Agnes before beginning. There was some sort of chemistry there, although it was the sort that results in the entire building being evacuated.
"It's a racket," said Perdita within, after the first few bars. "Everyone's looking as though it's wonderful, but it's a din."
Agnes concentrated. The music was beautiful, but if she really paid attention, with Perdita nudging her, it wasn't really there at all. It sounded like someone playing scales, badly and angrily. "I can say that at any time," she thought. "Any time I want, I can just wake up." Everyone else applauded politely. Agnes tried to, but found that her left hand was suddenly on strike. Perdita was getting stronger in her left arm. Vlad was beside her so quickly that she wasn't even aware that he'd moved.
"You are a fascinating woman, Miss Knit," he said. "Such lovely hair, may I say. But who is Perdita?"
"No one really," Agnes mumbled. She fought against the urge to bunch her left hand into a fist. Perdita was screaming at her again. Vlad stroked a strand of her hair. It was, she knew, good hair. It wasn't simply big hair, it was enormous hair, as if she was trying to counterbalance her body. It was glossy. It never split, and was extremely well behaved.